Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, a little background for those who are visiting this particular section of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had just taken sannyas and he wanted to go to Vrindavan. And while he was on his way to Vrindavan, he became bewildered and intoxicated by Krishna Prema, by love of God. And Lord Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Acharya and other devotees, taking advantage of his less than conscious position, decided that they would divert him from going to Vrindavan. And instead, they brought him to Advaita Acharya's house. So that's the long story short of it. Nityananda was fasting. All of them? All three. They were fasting for 3 days. Later on, we'll hear about Nityananda's remarks in relationship to Advaita Acharya's prasadam. But here Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to consciousness and realizes Advaita Acharya is standing there on a boat ready to bring him to his house with dry garments and give him prasadam. And he's wondering, what happened? I thought I was going to Vrindavan. And I was wondering what were you doing in Vrindavan? But now I see that I'm not in Vrindavan. So this is the Leela, the pastimes of the Lord and his devotees, jokingly, to get his association, they diverted him from his purpose. But he was satisfied, he was happy with that. And he was brought to Advaita Acharya's house where Sita had prepared this huge feast, hundreds of preparations. When you read the description of all the preparations in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in this section just before this, it's amazing all the preparations that she made, sweet preparations, sabjis and different types of dals and dal cakes and rice cakes and this, that, and the other thing. I imagine she must have had some assistance doing that, but it was a huge feast that was prepared for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and it was offered to the deity on a metal plate, and then the other two plates were meant for Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda as prasad for them, since they're also the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But this intention was not known to the Lord. It was the intention of Advaita Acharya to seat them practically in the same way as Lord Krishna, the deity, and feed them as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his brother Krishna and Balaram. So here they've come to Advaita Acharya's house and they are about to be fed. And we see that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a little resistant to taking this huge feast that is being offered before him, because he has just taken sannyas, and the rules of sannyas is you're supposed to avoid sense gratification. And trying to set the proper example for a sannyasi, he doesn't want to accept all of these preparations. He's, as he says here, just wants a little vegetable and rice. That's all that he'll take. But due to the cajoling of Advaita Acharya and the devotion and love that it's offered with to him, he decides to accept. And the two brothers smilingly sit and take this wonderful feast that's been offered to them. So this is a wonderful pastime, and a lot of things can be learned from this. One, of course, is this idea of sannyas, the renounced order, because as Vaishnavas, whether we're sannyasis or not, we have to minimize our sense gratification. That sometimes that may seem a little difficult when we have all these wonderful feasts and things like that, but we have to. Renunciation doesn't necessarily mean dry renunciation. Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada encouraged us to prepare sumptuous prasadam to satisfy the desire for eating palatable dishes, but The condition is, as stated in the purports here, that the food has to be offered to Krishna. So really, we're not preparing the feast for, in a sense, we're not preparing them for the devotees, although we know that the devotees will take the remnants. We are preparing the foodstuffs to offer the deities. This is the consciousness of the cook. The consciousness of the cook is that I'm preparing this bhoga as an offering for the deity, for the pleasure of the deity. This is how things work in the spiritual world also. So here we're practicing the very same things that we will be doing when we re-enter the spiritual world by offering bhoga to Krishna. It's like the cowherd boys, they're out in the fields playing with Krishna, and then lunchtime comes around and they break out their lunch bags and they offer everything to Krishna. And ultimately they share everything and Krishna gives it back to them, and in this way. But their mentality is, their mood is, I'm going to offer this to Krishna first. So what we're learning here in practice, sadhana bhakti, vaidhi bhakti, this, we're going to do the same thing in the spiritual world with Krishna. We're going to offer him food, we're going to offer him flower garlands and flower petals and massage his body, depending on what type of form we have in the spiritual world. If you actually are a flower, you will be offered to Krishna. I heard on a tape the other day, just a few days ago, Prabhupada saying, no matter what you do when you go to the spiritual world, whether you're a cowherd boy or a cowherd girl or a blade of grass or a flower or a tree, so this is what we do in the spiritual world. It doesn't matter what your form is. Everything is centered around offering to Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased to see all these wonderful preparations being offered to Krishna. He didn't think, oh, now I'm going to enjoy the remnants. So although as devotees we enjoy the remnants of the food that's offered to Krishna, our mentality is we accept it as prasad. We don't take it, I'm going to enjoy this food, this is a wonder, this, the taste of this food. We're going to enjoy the very subtle consciousness, but we're going to enjoy what's being offered to us by Krishna as his remnants. Sarira vidyajal jodendriya tohikal, that verse that we chant every day before prasadam. Sometimes we don't read the English. We don't know the English. You know what the English is? Oh Lord, this material body is a lump of ignorance, and the senses are a network of paths leading to death. Of all this enjoyment, senses, the tongue is the most voracious and difficult to control. But you, dear Krishna, are so kind because you have given us this nice Bhagavat prasadam, spiritual food, just to help us conquer the tongue. So let us take this nice prasadam to our full satisfaction, and in the process glorify their lordship Sri Sri Radha and Krishna and call upon the help of Lord Chaitanya and Prabhu Nityananda. So this is the mentality of taking prasad. The cook is preparing for the deities and the devotees are taking the prasad. And even if there's very little prasad, or there's not so many different varieties of prasad, or it's very simply prepared, or whatever, devotee will be satisfied with just taking a little rice and dal. Khichdi, Lord Chaitanya says, some vegetable and rice. Vairagya vidya, that's what's described in the purport here. This vairagya, renunciation, it's not dry renunciation, but we accept what Krishna gives us. We accept his remnants. This is Krishna consciousness. The devotee sees that Krishna is doing everything. He's providing me whatever I need. Sharanagati. The Lord is my maintainer. He's my protector. We accept what's favorable, reject what's unfavorable. So part of that process is in taking prasadam, we accept whatever the Lord gives us. Now, the consciousness of the cook, though, is he also wants to satisfy the devotees. So it's not that, oh, I'm going to make just 100 nice things for the deities, but I don't care about the devotees. So the cook also has to be thinking of pleasing the devotees, because serving the devotees is also serving Krishna. This was that verse, Tadiyanam Samarchanam. Yes, the Tadiyanam is the devotees. What's the whole verse? Aradhanam Sarvesham Vishnu Maradhanam Tadram Dehi Tadiyanam Samarchanam. The Lord, Lord Shiva says that the highest service is to Lord Vishnu, but even higher than service to Lord Vishnu is to serve the devotees, or the Vaishnavas. So, in the reciprocation of the devotees also, there's offering of prasadam, taking a prasadam, revealing one's mind, and hearing another reveal his mind. So these principles are all there in devotional service. And a very important part of it is the prasadam. Of course, the prasadam. So, in that regard, the importance of prasadam, once Srila Prabhupada said that Krishna consciousness, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, this is the kitchen religion. So now we're having nice programs here and festivals and chanting the holy names and festivals and distributing prasadam. But this is, the kitchen religion goes beyond just cooking for ourselves. So in the preaching process, you must also be aware that prasadam distribution is so important. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness, Prabhupada, is very, very special. I know there were some devotees that told me they had gone to a restaurant, devotee restaurant, and they went into the restaurant and they were surprised when the waitress served them the food. I say food because it wasn't prasadam. And surprisingly, the waiter or waitress, whoever it was, said, "Okay, now you have to offer it yourself." Self-service. Self-service prasadam, yes. Yeah. At least you didn't tell them they have to cook it. But, yes, this is for the guests. That aren't devoted. I guess that wasn't the purpose, wasn't to, the point is, it wasn't the purpose, wasn't to distribute prasadam. But Prabhupada's idea was different. This is a different Vaishnava organization. They have a different idea about prasadam. There is this idea that you're not supposed to sell prasadam or that type of get money in reciprocation for prasadam, which Prabhupada never taught us. But in Prabhupada's genius of spreading the Krishna consciousness movement, prasadam distribution was right alongside of everything else. It was alongside of book distribution, of Harinam, those three things, Harinam, book distribution, and prasadam. These were the three main activities of the Krishna consciousness movement in terms of preaching. And of course, the devotee's lifestyle is there as the background. Purity is the force. But the prasadam was so important. Prabhupada wanted very sumptuous prasadam to be distributed. He even had to, you may have heard this one preparation that he called a meat eater's delight. And this preparation he taught his disciples was basically just eggplant, boiled fried eggplant, and it's boiled fried eggplant and potatoes, and it's boiled together in whey, and then curd, paneer is fried separately and then added. And he called that the meat eater's delight. And he said, "This, if the materialists will take this meat eater's delight, this prasadam, they will give up their hankering for meat. The replacement for the hankering for the taste of meat was in the curd fried in ghee, not oil, ghee." Prabhupada taught us to cook with ghee, not oil, because the ghee will replace the hankering for meat. Because ghee comes from the butter, which comes from the milk, which comes from the cow, which comes from the blood of the cow after he eats the grass. It's the transformed blood of the cow. So you're literally eating the blood of the cow, but in a form that's arranged by Krishna to be taken by the human being so that there's no hankering for meat. Very simple, logical process. So this is one preparation that Prabhupada had, but he stressed so much the prasadam distribution, he would become very irritated and angry if there wasn't nice prasadam to distribute to the public. Sometimes if guests would come to the temple and there was no prasadam, there's so many stories maybe you've heard in the memories tapes, somebody would come to the temple and there was no prasadam and Prabhupada would become very upset. So it was also an etiquette. See, that the other part of it is when somebody visits the temple, it's the etiquette. You have to offer nice prasadam to them. Even your home, somebody comes, the grihastas in Vedic culture, they're supposed to go outside when the prasadam is ready. They go outside and say, whoever is hungry, please come. And in that way, you feed everybody else first. And if there's anything left, then you have prasadam. Babru was speaking so nicely a couple of days ago about charity, how the whole Vedic civilization is about charity. Everything is about charity. You distribute what you have, you give it to others, and others distribute what they have and they give it to you. So I guess the logic is if you distribute all your prasadam and there's nothing left, you can go to somebody else's house. That way you can get your meal. Why is prasadam so important, though? We know that in the spiritual world, prasadam is important. That's one reason. Krishna is taking prasadam all the time. Radharani is cooking hundreds of preparations for Krishna. She never cooks the same thing twice. That's the rule. She can never make the same thing twice for Krishna. But always he's getting new preparations. The spiritual world is unlimited. Whatever you desire to make, you can make it. And the cowherd boys and Krishna, they're always taking prasadam. When it was lunchtime and they had no prasadam, they went begging to the brahmanas for prasadam. So prasadam is so important in the spiritual world. So in the material world, here we see Lord this whole feast that's been prepared for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he's going to enjoy this feast and all of the wonderful interactions between Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda and Advaitacharya in relationship to the prasadam, how they were joking around in relationship to the meal that they were having. So this is part of the sporting activities of the spiritual, amongst Vaishnavas, is prasadam. But it's all done in the mood of service to Krishna. It's not done in the mood of enjoyment. On this point of enjoyment again, there's a nice story. It's not about prasadam, but it gives the same idea. Srila Prabhupada was on a morning walk after a big kirtan, and one devotee remarked to Prabhupada that, oh, Prabhupada, I enjoyed the kirtan so much. It's a wonderful kirtan. I enjoyed it. It was ecstatic. I was in bliss. Not the exact words, but this was his idea, what he was thinking and saying to Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, we are not the enjoyer of the kirtan. Krishna is the enjoyer of the kirtan. See, so also very fine, subtle difference. We're coming to the kirtan to give pleasure to Krishna through the chanting, through our instrument playing. And not that it has to be fancy, or it has to be, even the prasadam doesn't have to be fancy. Patram, pushpam, phalam, toyam. We only have to offer a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water. What was that? Kolavecha Sridhar? What was he was offering? Ganges water, I think. Anyway. But we don't have to have elaborate preparations for the Lord if it's not available, if we don't have the means. It's the love and the devotion that it's offered to the deities, to Krishna, for his pleasure, his enjoyment. You know that story in the Nectar of Devotion? Who was it that was... They were feeding Krishna bananas, and they were so much in ecstasy. No, one... was it? Daruka, yeah. Vidura, yes, Vidura. He was so much in ecstasy feeding Krishna bananas that he gave him the peel by accident. Now, it was his wife? Oh, okay. Anyway, the idea is we don't want to give Krishna banana peels, but we can see that in these higher realms of ecstasy, you're so absorbed in pleasing the Lord that you can even make a mistake like that, and the Lord accepted it. He accepted it. So this is the idea that we're bringing pleasure to Krishna through the kirtan, through the prasadam, through all of our activities. All that you do, all that you offer and give away, all activities, all austerities that you may perform, it's all done as an offering to Krishna. The whole process of bhakti yoga is a very simple, heartfelt offering of devotion of whatever we do. Very simple process, really. And as soon as mental concoction comes in, or we become proud, or we think that we're offering so much to Krishna, I've given this big donation, then it's no longer, or it's devotional service, but it's contaminated, it's reduced in its quality. Krishna likes the simplicity. Krishna likes the simplicity of the service and what's being done for him. So, this is the importance of prasadam distribution. So that one reason that in the spiritual world that prasadam is very important, and in the material world, prasadam is important. Why? Because prasadam is non-different from the Lord. It is the very body of the Lord. When it's offered to Krishna and he accepts it, and one thing is we shouldn't necessarily always think that he accepts it just because I'm putting it in front of him. You know, sometimes we get a little mechanical in our devotional service, and we just put the plate there, chant the prayers, chant the Gayatri, and Krishna has to accept it because I followed the process. But it's not mechanical. Krishna may not accept it. It has to be offered properly with that love and the devotion. Then it becomes prasad. Then it is non-different from the Lord. And that's why we distribute prasadam to the public. We don't need the money, but yes, we do, but then we don't. But it's nice to get the money. Like Krishna House, you know, we distribute so many plates of prasadam every day, and that supports the temple. It supports the paying of the mortgage on four or five buildings, and so many other things. So it's very nice that arrangement is there. That some Lakshmi comes in reciprocation for the prasadam. But ultimately, we depend on Krishna, and if he provides it in that way, that's good, or if he provides it in another way. But the idea is that by taking prasadam, the conditioned soul is purified. Prabhupada used to say that if you take prasadam, eventually your body will be completely spiritualized. It will become a prasadam body. And he gave the example that, according to medical science, all the cells of your body are replaced. Now, I don't know what it is because I've heard different numbers of years, but what is the actual figure? 7 years, all the cells of your body have been completely replaced with new cells. So if you're taking prasadam all the time, that means the cells in your body are becoming spiritualized by the prasadam, and in 7 years, you'll have a prasadam body. Wonderful logic. So we have people at Krishna House. Some of them have been taking Krishna lunch. Of course, they don't just eat Krishna lunch, but they've been taking Krishna lunch for 4, 5, 6 years. And their body is becoming spiritualized. Their consciousness will become spiritualized gradually over the course of time. They're going to, hate to say it, become devotees. I like to say it, but they may not like that. They may not like that. It's Prabhupada said, prasadam is our secret weapon. And gulabjamans are ISKCON bullets. Gulabjaman is the ISKCON bullet. You know that story in the early days? So we still get an anxiety, but in those days they had an anxiety bucket. Prabhupada kept this little pail or something outside of his room in New York. And whenever a devotee would get an anxiety, they were allowed to come and take, in that bucket was globjimins. They were allowed to come and take a globjimin and eat the globjimin, and that way all their anxiety would be relieved. That was the anxiety bucket. So obviously we know as devotees that when we take prasadam, all our anxieties go away. Right? When we sit down and take prasadam, we don't have to worry about our, we're grihasthas, we don't have to worry about our debts or our finances or our business or anything, or of course, whatever we might be. All our anxieties just go away taking Krishna's prasadam. So that is the importance of prasadam for devotees. There's importance for prasadam for the non-devotees, that they'll become purified. The whole section in Bhagavad Gita, yagya sishta sano santo mucchante sarvakil vishai, that all the foodstuffs, they're offered to the Lord in sacrifice, in yagya. And Krishna, through the demigods, he provides the rains which produce the grains, and the grains are cooked, and then it's offered back to the demigods, of course, first to Vishnu, and then we partake of the remnants. This whole cycle is there. It's this natural cycle. So we are, this prasadam distribution is part of the Sankirtan Yajna. Actually, in many quotes in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada talks about, along with the Harinam Sankirtan, there must be profuse prasadam distribution. They have to go. They go hand in hand. If you don't have, of course you can have prasadam without the kirtan, like in restaurant situations, but then you could be playing kirtan over the loudspeakers or taped kirtan. But in general, especially if you have festivals, then you have kirtan and prasadam. It is part of the yajna. The whole scientific arrangement, the whole order of things is in proper place. Now the third part of it is the book distribution, because we're going into this Christmas time, this Christmas marathon, and we've been asked in the classes to speak a little bit. I'm not going to speak about book distribution so much, but it also goes hand in hand with the yajna, the dissemination of knowledge. In the yajnas, the brahmanas would chant the Vedic mantras, and they would distribute the knowledge to others, and the prasadam would be distributed, and all this would go on. So book distribution is a very important part of the whole cycle again. So when we have festivals, we have kirtan, we distribute prasadam, and we have the books. Or if we're just going out and distributing the books, what do the books say? The books say, chant Hare Krishna and take prasadam. Right? So it's all, you know, it's all going around in these spiritual circles. We're distributing the books to tell people to chant Hare Krishna and take prasadam, by which they can become devotees and then chant and take prasadam and distribute more books so that other people can get the books and read them and become devotees and chant and take prasadam and distribute books. This whole transcendental system, all created by our founder Acharya, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So let's think about book distribution. These are some quotes from a book compiled. This is my request. Sorry, we're going a little over. These books are the best advertising. They are better than advertising. If we simply present Krishna consciousness in a serious and attractive way, without need to resort to fashionable slogans or tricks, that is sufficient. Our unique asset is our purity. Distribution of books and magazines is our most important activity. Without books, our preaching has no solid basis. If you simply push on this one activity of distributing my books, your all success will be there. I have hatched this transcendental plot for getting money by selling my books. And if we stick only to this plan and use our brain for selling books, there will easily be sufficient money. Our book distribution program is most important work. Anyone reading our Krishna book, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Nectar of Devotion, and Bhagavad Gita as it is sure to become a Krishna-conscious person. Therefore, somehow or other, we must push on this literature distribution program, either through schools, colleges, libraries, life membership program, or ordinary sales. Just a couple more. My Guru Maharaj used to say, "Don't worry about money. Do something nice for Krishna and money will come." So we should always be thinking how to distribute the message of Krishna, and surely he will give us facility. Even an ordinary man, if he wants publicity, then he gives so much money for the propaganda work. Similarly, Krishna is not poor. He can supply any amount for the devotees engaged in broadcasting his glories. So go on with your organization for distribution of my books through press and other modern media, and Krishna will certainly be pleased upon you. We can use everything, television, radio, movies, or whatever there may be, to tell about Krishna, and outside of devotional service, all these modern paraphernalia are just so much rubbish. Last one. Please also try to introduce our books in the colleges and schools as well as local libraries. I have received word from other centers that our literatures are very well received, and often they are being used as course textbooks in the schools and colleges. You are already preaching on the university campuses, so you add this book distribution to your program and make it complete with preaching, chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, distribution of prasadam, and literatures. I know how well this program is received by the students because they are very intelligent. You are also a very intelligent boy and devotee of Krishna, and Krishna will give you even more intelligence in proportion to your endeavor to serve him faithfully. Book distribution ki jai. Prasadam distribution ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Just one little thing I wanted to mention. That I have some plan to produce a few prasadam-related books. And if anyone would like to participate, the most important of them is a book about the glories of Krishna prasadam. We have books about book distribution and other things, but a book about the glories of Krishna prasadam. So if you have some stories about how you became a devotee because of prasadam or other related stories, how prasadam changed your life or helped you in some way, I'd like to know the stories, because part of the book will be these prasadam stories. And I think actually there's one quote, I just read this recently, where prasadam, Prabhupada said, "You all came to me because of prasadam." It's that important. Prasadam is so important. People have become devotees because of prasadam. There's one story of one devotee. I don't have anything compiled yet, although I could read them some stories. But it's one story, this devotee, he was into a macrobiotic diet and never ate any cooked foods and stayed away from everything cooked. Somehow or other, he got some halava. And that changed his life. He became a devotee because of halava. So in Krishna House in Gainesville, one of my other cookbooks I'm advertising now is 108 different flavors of halava. I have about 70 now, but 38 more to go. Okay, any comments or questions from Mahatma? Sure, any stories. Go ahead. I don't have my tape recorder, but you can tell me later.
I don't know if anybody knows, it may not relate to everybody, but when I was growing up, this is way before vegetarianism and way before anybody was into health, there was a guy I used to see on TV, his name was Gypsy Boots. And Gypsy Boots was this total bohemian. You know, he was like the the, you know, before the hippies, he was just, you know, alternative, and he was totally into raw food, organic, you know, before anybody even knew what it was all about. So we were in San Diego, and we were doing this, like, mind-body-spirit program, right? And we had Holliver there. So he's raw food all the way, you know? So we made, he was around, he was coming around, and so, you know, he was very alternative and open, so, and somehow or other, he was taking our Holliver, and as he was taking it, he was taking more, and more, and more, and he kept saying, I don't know why I'm eating this, I'm a raw food person. And he couldn't stop himself. And then we had a kirtan with him. We went outside and said, we have a kirtan. He had a kirtan. He was down. He was like 75. He was dancing up and down. He was full of energy. But there's an even better story. We were, we used to do prasadam at these rest areas, and we would cook pakoras right on the, right outside. So this one guy comes, and he's eating these pakoras, you know, just fresh out of the wok. And he's eating them. After like 3 or 4 minutes, he realizes we're devotees. It was because he was focused on the pakoras. So he didn't really look at us and see how we were dressed. And he was like in a state of shock. He said, are you guys Hare Krishnas? And we said, yes. And he said, I was one of your arch enemies at the airport. I used to break up sales. I hated you guys, etc., etc. And then he said, this is great. I love this. And it a total transformation within like 3 minutes, like 3 pakoras, and he was, you know, born again.
Yes. Kali upon you.
I just have a brief story that illustrates how Gulab Jamuns were very much a part of the culture of ISKCON, at least once. That is that in France, we had a very big temple at Ermenonville. Chateau, and the presiding room had these very opulent chandeliers. And one day I was cleaning the chandelier and I discovered a completely dehydrated gulab jamun in the chandelier. So those were the
Did
days.
You eat it?
It got me there.
Uh-huh.
And I had a kind of question also.
You
mentioned that in the spiritual world, the prasadam is very important and that Krishna takes prasadam. And I've heard people say sometimes that Krishna takes prasadam, but my understanding is that Krishna takes bhoga. Bhoga means that which is enjoyable, and he's the one person who is, you know, he's the enjoyer. So as far as I understand, you know,
yes,
Krishna eats bhoga.
Everyone else is taking Krishna's prasadam. He's eating everything first. He's taking the bhoga. Yeah.
I was just going to mention the quote of when Srila Prabhupada said, you have all come by taking Vishadam, was Prabhupada told us that in Miami in 1974 in a Bhagavad Gita class. Mm-hmm. It was very interesting. He said that. He said, you have all come because of prasadam. And then he turned to Aviram and said, you too. You know, just to let us know that.
Yes, Prabhu, in the back. Wait for the microphone. Then. Yeah.
When you mentioned that everyone came to Srila Prabhupada for prasadam, because I just want to comment that, of course, everything Prabhupada distributed was prasadam, even when he speaks. That was Mahaprasadam. Uh-huh. Everything he does.
Yes, everything is prasadam. I have one other story, but...
Just to let you know is that I'm from Fort Lauderdale, and I was associated with somebody who is not yet a devotee, and their child studies in Gainesville, and she's a senior student, and for the last 4 years she's been having prasadam where you're distributing. Mm. Because she's the only vegetarian in her family, and she didn't know where to turn to and what to do until she stumbled into you guys. So you guys do great.
Mm.
And
thank
one
you.
Little story which I wanted to tell you is which I heard from Shuddha Kirtipas Prabhu is, often Prabhupada would tour different temples during his sojourn, and in order to assess the quality of service done to the deities, he would ask for Rajbhog. He would often partake in the prasad offered to Krishna, and then he would determine that. Can you expound a little bit on that, please?
Sri Vigrahara Dhana Nityanana Sringara Tan Mandira Marjana. The spiritual master is actually, Prabhupada said that at one point also, that I am responsible for the service to the deities. So I have to make sure that you perform the service nicely. because it's actually the spiritual master is making all the arrangements for all the service to the deities. So he takes the responsibility. If the prasadam's not good, if it's late, then the offense, he feels the responsibility of the offense. So when we serve the deities, we have to be very conscious. We're doing this on behalf of Srila Prabhupada and our spiritual master. And if I don't do this right, then they have to accept the offense. Me too. I'll get a reaction too. There's one story. One devotee was late bringing. How did it go? They were bringing prasadam to Prabhupada, and they were late one day. Maybe it was the Rajbhog offering, and Prabhupada asked, "Why have you brought this late?" And they gave some reason, and Prabhupada remarked that. The same thing that I'm asking for this, because if you are late bringing me the prasadam, my lunch, punctually, then what to speak of the deities? So he wanted to train us for punctuality and cleanliness and the quality of the foodstuffs that are prepared nicely. So it's part of the whole Vaishnava process. So he was testing the prasadam. You say he's like a food tester, you know, like wineries have wine testers and chocolate testers and this. And so Prabhupada was testing the prasadam. Yes, Gunganrai.
During the 1976 Rath Yatra in Philadelphia, Prabhupada was there, and I was on a traveling party with Garga Muni. We got an opportunity to go into a room, just alone. Each one of us went in to see Srila Prabhupada, and we offered the garland that we made. So I went in and I put the garland on Srila Prabhupada, and I was wondering what he was going to do. He said, "Come on, take prasad," just like that, like it wasn't, "Would you like prasad? Or here's some prasadam." He said, "Come on, take prasadam." And he had this big with some Mahaprasadam on it, and he fortunately gave me a piece of prasadam that he had bitten into, and so he was very forceful or vehement in his request to take prasadam. It was an order from the spiritual master. You must take prasadam.
Yeah, I got 1 minute to tell a story, another prasadam story. You want to hear it? Yeah. Prasadam story? How somebody became a devotee. There's one devotee, also a very health-conscious devotee. In New York, we used to distribute luglus, not ladus or lugdus. They're made with bundi, fried bundi, mixed in a cooked down sugar syrup with dates and nuts and dried fruit and all kinds of things. And these were remarkable. Actually, the devotee who did the most on book distribution would, at the end of the day, they would get a softball-sized lugdu. But this one person, we would go on the subways and give out luglus and books and get donations. This one person, he got one. They were packaged. And he didn't want to eat it, but he ate it. And he liked it, even though it wasn't really his part of his menu, regular menu. And he was very astounded by the flavor of it and how wonderful it was. When he came out of the subway, he went somewhere else, and I don't know the whole story in detail, he ended up and on a bench somewhere else in New York City, he saw another luglu sitting there in a package. And he took that luglu and ate it, and then eventually he came to the temple and became a devotee. A Shastiva. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Sorry, no more time.